Our reading this morning is from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done for you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
Let's pray together. Father, may my words be the words that you want me to speak, and may they lodge in the hearts of those who you wish to receive them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's appropriate, I suppose, I come to talk about a minor Old Testament prophet as I leave this church, because we've been going round the prophets, as you see on the sides here, and we've now come to Micah, which is just about there, and we're almost on the home stretch. So a little bit of background about Micah, first of all. His name means who is like God, or who is like Yahweh. That was his name. He came from a village of Moresh, about 25 miles southwest of Jerusalem, which was apparently a tall mount on which the village was placed. And he prophesied mostly, and you can see it there, in the time of King Hezekiah, which was round about 715 to 686 BC. Although it's quite possible that Micah also prophesies for the preceding two kings before him, Joham and Ahaz, because they think that he was around for about 46 years. And it was difficult times. And so Micah, basically, his message is one of doom and destruction, a great calling for a prophet to have to produce. He's saying, basically, the city of Jerusalem, the holy city, which is meant so much to the Jews, is due to be overrun by the enemies which surround the state, and the Lord will allow them to be overtaken by the Syrians or some other force. And this is the time of the Assyrian crisis, when they're coming from the north. They've taken the villages, they've taken the towns, and they're hard pressing onto Hezekiah in Jerusalem. And those of you who know the story, and it's worth reading, it's in Chronicles, know that Hezekiah repents, and at that point the Lord intervenes in a miraculous way, and the Assyrian forces are defeated, and Hezekiah remains in the city of Jerusalem, not captive. And so, to some extent, one might say that Micah was a failure or wrong. But actually, the message which Micah brings is an everlasting message, and it lasts longer than simply the passing Assyrian crisis of the time, because he says, because you have rejected the Lord, because you are not following in his ways, eventually the Lord will give you over unless you turn to him. Follow what is in the law. Incidentally, of course, eventually the Babylonians overran the city of Jerusalem and the people were taken off into captivity in a way that Micah foretells. But about a century later, you may recall the prophet of Jeremiah, I think he's going to be around somewhere, no, he's missed out perhaps, who was put on trial for spreading very negative messages. There he is there, yeah. And Jeremiah said the city of Jerusalem is going to be going to fall and it's going to be taken over by these forces because you haven't done what the Lord says you should have done. And when Jeremiah was put on trial, one of the defenses from his clever defense lawyers was, well, he's only saying what Micah said, and you didn't punish him, so why should you punish Jeremiah? Well, they didn't kill him, but they threw him into a well and did various other unpleasant things to him instead. The book of Micah, therefore, falls into two parts. The first part is addressed to all people. It's chapter 1 right through to 5 verse 15. And it basically is the Lord's judgment on those people who have failed to observe the laws of the Lord and are worshipping foreign idols and putting their own selves before the Lord. And it offers them a stark choice. It offers them a choice between following the Lord and being protected by him or being subsumed by the Philistine forces who will in time certainly take over the country. And yet the people don't really listen. And then we come to the second part, which is where our reading today came from. This is chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. The second part is where Israel is put on trial. That's what those opening verses are. Israel is put there as the Lord says to them, put them on trial. And we have the mountains as the witnesses. We have the foundations of the earth. And the major complaint is that they have not followed the law of the Lord. How have I burdened you? Asked the Lord. Why have you not followed me? And the Lord reminds them of all that he has done for them. He reminds them of the time that he brought them out of Egypt under Moses, and the way that Aaron led them into the promised land, and the way that he has protected them over years from the advances of the enemies. And yet, their major complaint is that they reject justice, practice violence, follow self-interest, and they are no longer loving the Lord. They do what they want to do. And Micah knew that they were sinners and that there was a problem going right through society. He said, the rulers give judgment for a bribe. This is chapter 3. It's priests. The priests give teach for a price. The prophets give oracy for money. Yet they lean upon the Lord and say, surely the Lord is with us. No harm shall come upon us. It's a warning against false religion and a wrong relationship with God. You see, we can't follow God and do things in our lives which are against the way that he wants us to live. I wonder if sometimes we forget, just like the people of Israel, how good God has been to us. I look back over the years and I think of all the things that God has done for me. But many times we take him for granted. In the hard times we forget that he has supported us in the past, and in the good times we forget entirely about him because we are so self-satisfied with our own pleasure. I wonder if we were to be put on trial, I wonder what the accusation would be, have you lost that love? Are you seeking the Lord in the way that you should be seeking the Lord? Are we dedicated to him? And you know, one of the great things, and John's reminded us of this morning, is that Jesus has done that trial for us. And because of Jesus, we can say Jesus will stand in our place as we strive to do what is right with the Lord. But are we one of these people who swap the praise of God in church on a Sunday for material gain and injustice on a Monday? Are we people who are tied up here in worship, but the way we live our lives is different to that which we proclaim with our lips? And that was the problem in Micah's day, that the people didn't relate to what there was going on around them in terms of their justice and their vision for the way that God wanted them to be. And so, 2 points. Firstly, it is not something but you that God wants. You see, there's a list of all the things that the people of Israel were willing to bring to God. The calves, the fatted sheep, the oxen, everything that could go to the altar to be sacrificed. And people were giving of their wealth and of many of the things which they owned and which they prized to God. But they were not giving themselves. And that is what God calls us to give. He doesn't call us to give tokens of our affection. He calls us to give the whole of our lives. He doesn't ask us to think about him just from time to time, perhaps first thing in the morning and last thing at night. But he wants our lives to be integrated into that love so that what we do and what we say throughout the day is part of that service. And sometimes we need to be bold. We need to recognize that God is calling us to do more and be more with us. Because as we start out on that trail of faith, he will support and walk alongside us. And it is that which allows us to transform the lives and produce the kingdom values that we seek around us. I remember the time when I went to see Paul Taylor. I was convinced that I should be going forward for lay ministry. And so I went to see him by appointment. I've known Paul for many years. And I walked in and I explained to him that I've really felt called to lay ministry. And I thought that he would probably say to me, well done, Roger, I recognize that. You're quite good at speaking. And yes, I'll sign the forms and off we go. I was pretty shocked when he said to me, go away. Go away and don't come back until you can assure me that you are not called to ordained ministry. He was right. He didn't know that I'd already gone forward 20-odd years or so before and been told, stay in teaching, don't leave, because actually we need teachers. But you see, my fumbling efforts were simply that I thought, well, you know, if I take one step at a time, it might be that sometime in the future I would go forward for ordained ministry. But I wasn't willing to take that step of faith. And so over the next few years, as I explored with various people and they drilled down into my belief, I felt called to take that step. And I believe that the Lord is calling each one of you to look at your lives and to ask, where can I step forward? Where can I go forward in the Lord? Because it is not a case that everyone should be called to ordain ministry, but everyone is called to serve God. And you are no less a person than me, because you will be able to work out in your communities and in the places that I was working once in order to spread the good news and to see justice and mercy done. And that is the calling of Christians. It doesn't mean it falls upon those who are collared. It means that it falls upon those who are seeking earnestly to serve the Lord. God wants you in the same way as he calls all of us to serve and work wherever you are. And you might say, I'm not good enough. I really don't know enough things about God yet. You know, there are things which are not right in my life. I can't serve God at this stage. I need to put it all right, and then I'll go and do that. But actually, you will never be good enough, neither will I. And God calls you from where you are, in your weakness, your brokenness, and the way in which you are at present, because he knows you. And he forms you. And if today you feel that you are like that prodigal son and you don't know God, then this is the chance for you to return to him. Because remember, God doesn't want little tokens. God doesn't want you to be able to say, oh, I give this much to the church, or I go there on every Sunday. I've spent hours in prayer. God wants you, the whole of you. Every part of you, even the bits that you rather he didn't see, he wants you. And what does God want you to do? Well, it's there, Micah. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Because that is what we are called to do. We're called to serve those around us. We're called to speak to those who perhaps we don't speak to. We're called to witness to those who we meet, those in our family, those we work with, those we engage with on a daily basis. You are the people who God is calling each one of you to be able to reach out and spread the good news and be able to establish kingdom values. You know, we are going through very, very difficult times in this country. There is political turmoil. There is great uncertainty ahead. And we should be praying for justice and mercy and the things that Micah said all those years ago. Love mercy. Walk humbly with God. Strive to be generous. Strive to do those things. Remember that Christ gave of himself and fully for you. And so it's not just in here, it's out there. And it's out there that Micah and the Lord is calling you to serve. Our daily walk reminds us to be dependent on God in all that we do. And in Micah, we see a prophet who spoke about the injustice, who wanted things to be right, but recognized that at the end of the day, it was the heart of the person that matters more than anything else. And that heart is expressed in the way that they deal with other people and the way in which they're called to witness to those around them. So it's you God wants. Do justly. Love mercy, walk humbly with God. And may your relationship with him be strengthened as you step out in faith. Amen.
Thank you for those really challenging but helpful words. As Roger was speaking, there was a phrase that's used in the Bible quite often, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord. And I have a sense that there's someone, at least one person, who you made a promise to God when you were in need at one point, and you haven't yet made good your promise. And so if you haven't done justice to God, today would be a good day to say, I am sorry, Lord, I'm going to take this seriously. I'm not going to make idle promises to you. So it's not a rebuke, it's an invitation to return to the Lord. And also doing justice is not about what we're doing in here alone, it's out there. If you know someone has something against you, Jesus says you need to put that right. Or if you have something against someone else, you need to put it right. Either way round, you're the one to restore that relationship and have the difficult conversation. So we're just going to have a few moments of quiet and listen to our hearts, listen to Jesus, Lord, what are you calling us to do? To respond authentically to your word. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And may we be those who not only hear, but respond to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.